It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 37, and we're going to be reading from the 17th verse today and read through the 24th verse. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's a wonderful time we have today in studying God's precious Word. And so once again, Exodus chapter 37, beginning to read with verse 17. And he made the candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branches, his bowls and his knops and his flowers were of the same. And six branches going out of the sides thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. Three bowls made after the fashion of the almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and three bowls made like the almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were four bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his seven lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it and all the vessels thereof. Oh, it's a wonderful day to read God's precious Word. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time, this precious study. As we're going to look at the candlestick, it seems that each time we come together, we took care of the ark, the mercy seat, the table of showbread. Now we're taking a look at the lampstand, the candlestick. Please, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us and show us what we're to see and to learn in this study today. It is always wonderful to open your precious Word and to trust in you, depend upon you, dear Lord, and please that you would guide and lead us today in this study. Any person today, young or old, that does not know you as their Savior, please today that they trust in you. It is so wonderful to come by faith to you, and as we do this study, we're going to show very carefully and very prayerfully the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, as our Savior. So please, that don't let us miss that. Don't let us miss that opportunity to show so clearly how salvation can come into the heart of the lost. And then the salvation as it comes, it stays. And for eternally, dear Lord, we enjoy the fellowship and the walk with you, growing closer to you each and every day. Now please guide and lead us today as we take a look at this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the ark, mercy seat, table of showbread, and golden candlestick. I like to take just a little bit of time each time to kind of remind us of what we're looking at here. It is the building, a tabernacle. It's 15 feet wide, 15 foot tall, and it's 45 feet long. It has two rooms. The first room is 30 feet long, and the second room is 15 foot in length. And it is a cube. It's 15 by 15 by 15, the Holy of Holies. And that room is where the ark and the mercy seat will both be found. And so we have studied those. And then you come out into the room that's before this room, the first room you would enter into. And that room you'll find to have a table of showbread and a candlestick and the incense altar. And so today we're looking at the candlestick, and we have had such a wonderful study of the Scripture in the other areas, and how that we come in first of all to the brazen laver that's outside in the courtyard. We always have to accept the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done for you and for me up on Calvary. What a wonderful, wonderful day it was that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. What a horrible day for Him and a wonderful day for us, because Jesus is alive and Jesus was victorious over death. As He faced the grave, He died and rose again 3 days later. If we just come by faith in Him and trusting and knowing that He has taken our sin away, that He has set us free, and He has a free gift, and we just have to accept it, and please that you accept that today. And so we have first to come to the brazen altar, and then the beginning of the process of a word called sanctification that we have in God's Word. But as we look at that word sanctification, it's just another word for washing. It's just another word for cleansing, for cleaning, and making what the Lord Jesus has done in our hearts. It's making that come through the outside. In other words, the old flesh, we are still in the old flesh, even though we're born again, and in God's eyes we're made perfect. Everything is paid for. The Lord Jesus paid our debt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to come by faith to Him, have our sins forgiven, to be set free, is just a wonderful, wonderful step. Nothing greater will ever happen to you than for you to come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him. So I hope that you do that today, that you do trust in Him as your Savior. But I also want you then to begin the walk, because you have a new heart. Now let's let that new master and that new heart and that new leader that's within your heart and your life, let him have control. And that's the beginning of starting to let your control go and begin to trust in his leadership and his control, our Lord and Savior. And he will take you from the wicked life that we have lived all of our lives. And you say, oh, I was a pretty good person. You were born in sin. You are a sinner. Now, for the first time, you have the victory over sin. You have victory over the devil. And you can begin to walk as you should and fellowship with our Lord and begin to have a wonderful, victorious life. That comes through the washing, and this laver is just that, the washing of the water by the Word. And so we have those things in place. Then next we come, and we come into the tabernacle. And in order to be in the tabernacle, you have to have the position, any of this area, the ark, place of sacrifice there, the brazen altar, the brazen laver then for the washing. All this function, all this work is done by the priest. And so now the priest, when he finishes that, washes, now he can go in for fellowship. And so we have looked at the table of showbread and how that you feed upon the bread of life, the very bread that he gives us. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What a wonderful promise. You know, we worry and fret about everything, and the very thing that we need to really look to and follow after, and that's our Savior, and we need to look to God for his strength and for his power. Okay, this table of showbread, we've spent time there. Now we're to the candlestick. And so this golden candlestick, it also is in the same room with the table of showbreads on the opposite side. And so we have talked about in the past, because back in Exodus chapter 25, we have been through this, and what this time is, now they're building it. They're putting it into place for use. Before, it was when God gave it to Moses, and now we find that Moses is directing those that God has given special talent to build and to make these things. And so now we get to this golden candlestick. We find that it is pure gold. Pure gold always stands for deity. And so, you know, much of the other products are acacia wood overlaid with gold. That too speaks then of the deity of Christ, but also of his humanity. The wood speaks of his humanity. We've talked about that in the past. But this candlestick now, it's a pure gold. And so we have completely, 100%, it is God's will and God's strength and God's way. Now we're going to take a look at this because the light that this candlestick, this lampstand here produces is the only light that's within this room, this 30 by 15 with 15 foot walls. Kind of remember the decorations. It's gold on the walls. It's white, beautiful white linen on the ceiling, embroidered, and then also the veil that's in the front of them going on into the Holy of Holies. It too is white. And it too has all the embroidery, very, very beautiful, as the door that you would come into to come into the holy place. So we have the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Holy place is first. That's where we find the candlestick, the table of showbread, and the incense altar. This room, again, the only place, the only thing that's in there, the only way that you can get the light is through this lampstand. And so if you'll think about that, put yourself in the middle of that room. Without the lampstand burning, it would be completely dark. You would not be able to go over to the table of showbread and nourish yourself with this bread that we need. And that's exactly the way it is with ourselves. We need to depend completely upon the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to show us his word. We have to do that. Now, we're going to see a beautiful picture here. First, we're going to go back onto the outside because the light that's on the outside, that light is much different than we have on the inside. The light on the inside is our Lord Jesus Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a minute when it comes to the oil. But first of all, I want to take a look at this light that you and I normally have. This natural light, the light that we have on the outside. The only thing that the light on the outside brings is it brings human reasoning. It brings in philosophy. It brings in speculation, just wondering, thinking, how about this? What about that? Oh, my friend, let's go to the Word of God for the truth from Genesis to Revelation, and it will give you such a wonderful life. Now, if you stay in the outside and you refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you refuse to surrender to Him, you're going to continue to use your human reasoning, you're going to continue with this philosophy nonsense, and you're going to continue then in your wondering and your speculating. You know, when we begin to follow our reason, our own reason, God gave us common sense. But I guarantee you that God guides our common sense. And so when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the wonderful hope and the wonderful opportunity of walking with the Lord Jesus every day and having a knowledge and a knowing that He is in control and leading you. It's called by faith. But if it's just man's way, and that's the way you might be doing it, then it's just how whatever you can kind of figure out. And you're going to figure this out, and somebody else will figure something else out, and you two may come together and try to compromise to see which is best. My friend, we need to know and know for sure that we are walking by faith. In other words, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. That means trusting His precious living Word. We look here that man that does this, this man that walks by his own reasoning and refuses to come to God and to His strength and His power, this man will invent all sorts, all kinds of human ideas and philosophies and theories. That's where evolution comes from. That's where all the people that sit and think, you know, There is no life after this. When you go into the grave, that's it, you know. And my friend, that's so sad, because when we come and we look and we make these decisions, they're lies, they're contrary to the Word of God. Man has come up with works when they begin to even think of religion. And you see, there's a hole, there's a void in our hearts, and that void needs to be filled. And now what happens, we try to fill it. We fill it with the reasoning, with the philosophies of the world. We begin once again, and I picked those three words, and others have used them too, and I think they're very good. We have human reasoning, we have philosophy, and we have speculation. All that kind of falls into that one term, human reasoning. You're going to figure it out, aren't you? And so you can go to your National Geographic, you can go to some of the scientists of the world, but all they're doing is speculating. They're only speculating. Oh, to go to the Word of God, to His truth, and to study it and search it, believe it and know it, it'll bring such a peace and a joy to you. Religion today also attempts to fill that void. And there's false religion and there's true religion. And, you know, I don't even like to use the word religion, because I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I'm a believer in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. I'm not a believer in a religion. I'm a believer in a person, and that person is the person that is that's speaking here in His Word, the Bible, the Word of God. And you know, if you've been around me very much, that I do stay with the King James, because I believe it to be closer. There are others that maybe it seemed to be easier to study and would have easier to read and have some insight to it, maybe that would help you from time to time. I would prefer that you stay with the King James. I would prefer that you get your concordance out and you look through the Strong's Concordance, and you will find the meanings of these words, because they have changed a little bit. But there is such an amount of the definition is large sometimes to some of these words. And these other Bibles, these other versions that they have made, they take one of those words. And it may be a little easier for you to understand for today, but there may be a little fuller meaning. And if you take time to study it instead of just reading it, you'll find that. And so please, that you would look to those tools. Get a good Bible dictionary and get the Strong's Concordance and get your King James Bible out and get to work. And you're going to really, really enjoy the blessing of God's Word. Now, what happens here, when religion gets into the road, it always adds works. Religion always adds works. And so your church, where you go, your religion, you may have done the same thing, and you may have done it so slightly, you didn't even realize it. You didn't realize that in your church that you've got to be baptized to be saved. Now, if you say that, he says, well, my church really doesn't believe that. Well, if you look into their constitution, look into their beliefs, their doctrines, you'll find that's exactly what they believe. And they also, many of them, believe that you're not secure in Jesus once you come, but you can lose your salvation. Most religions teach that as well. You see, those are all false religions. And you know, there's only one Christ. The rest of them are antichrists. And so the Christ that wrote the word that I have in my hand is the Christ that is true and is right, and tells us that we come by faith, tells us that it's a free gift of salvation, tells us that we are kept by Him. That's my word. Now, that doesn't make sense to man sometimes, but it doesn't have to, because it's God's Word and it's true. Well, what this does, this philosophy, these inventions that people come up with, and this human reasoning and this speculation, all of that brings to us these theories, and these theories then literally binds the minds of man from what's right. And it keeps them to the place that they don't want to believe. in the blood of Jesus Christ and his saving power. They don't want to believe that he was the sacrifice and he's the only sacrifice. They don't want to believe that we need to come and confess our sin before a living God and ask him to forgive us and to save us. And he will. They do not believe that. They preach that generally, but they do not want to believe it. And so we need to understand that the blood is the only remedy for the sin, and Jesus' blood. He is our substitute. With psychology and religion and education, that seems to go to the other side. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll go all the way to the New Testament here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, seems like we do spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, but it is so basic to know and to have and to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at the 14th verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way that you can know the things of God is to be born again. That's it. You must have the Spirit of God in your heart to understand the things of God. It's that simple. Don't try to, if you're saved, if you're born again, and you're talking to somebody, and you talk about what you believe, and they talk about what they believe, and you're kind of two different areas there, and you can't quite figure it out. Well, let me help you with it. Never try to discuss with anyone the doctrines that are in the Word of God, except for the single doctrine of salvation, salvation by grace. You need to tell them and stay right on that subject. My friend, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. That's what needs to. You need the Holy Spirit to touch your heart and just allow him to come in and to save you. And please accept him today. And once that takes place, then the walk begins. Then that wonderful time begins. But not until then. So, because, once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This outside light, that's what got to start on all this, this outside light that most men depend on, men, women, and children alike depend upon, it will direct you the wrong way. We need, as believers, to be not outside, not looking at the light, and not looking again at this tabernacle in the way that the world does. Remember the outer veil, the not veil, but the outer covering of the tabernacle is this badger skin or porpoise hide, very gray, very dull, very durable, but nothing real super to look about. And that's what the world sees. Plus, something else that the world sees is this offering. Out here in the front of the courtyard is this altar, this brazen altar, and they are constantly bringing and offering animals upon that. And that's that smell of death, that stench of death, that burning, that fire is what you notice always. But when you go in to this place of fellowship, you come into the holy place, then now you have the incense altar, which we'll get to next time. You have the table of showbread, and we have the lampstand. We have the light, not a natural light, but a God-given light, a light that we can walk in and see and be directed by. What's wonderful. Now, keep that in mind now. Now that we look at this lampstand, now this candlestick. Now I want to take just a quick look here, because the this believer that's inside the tabernacle now, the gold doesn't, you know, you can't light gold. There is something that feeds this light, and it's the oil. The oil was used in the lampstand. The oil is also used in anointing the priests. So the Lord is the anointed one, according to the Word of God. The word Messiah, translated Christ, means literally the Anointed One. Now, we're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture here, Acts chapter 10, while you're maybe still have your hand in the New Testament. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, this anointing that took place, this wonderful anointing, the Holy Spirit came down upon. Remember when the Lord Jesus was baptized, that something took place at that time for all to see? The power of the Holy Spirit came upon the Lord Jesus. You see, he's 100% man and yet 100% God. He needs the anointing power. He needs the direction, the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And we have that. We have that power and that strength ourselves the day we trust in Jesus Christ. And so this word oil here is anointed. It gives us strength and direction and light. Now let's look at one other verse of Scripture. Boy, the time just gets away so quickly. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to look at the first verse. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, wonderful verses of Scripture. Look at these beautiful verses of Scripture, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if you remember, that's the area that the Lord Jesus was reading when he stepped into the synagogue back in the Gospel of Luke, is where that gives us Luke chapter 4. And so we need to see, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. God had anointed the Lord Jesus. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit, given power and direction, and we need to walk each day. And so this lamp, it represents the Lord Jesus, the golden lampstand, this candlestick. But also then we have the oil. And you see, Jesus walked the same way. He was here. He walked upon this earth, and he was God, fully God, and yet he still needed the power, had the power, possessed the power of the Holy Spirit, as we need it as well. When you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. Now, there's another beautiful picture here as we continue to look at this lampstand, this candlestick, back in Exodus chapter 37, verse 17. As we look at this, you get the design of how it was built. And it's about all we're going to get to today, and then we'll start there next time. The lampstand represents the church. Not only does it represent Christ and then the oil of the Holy Spirit, but also it represents the church. Now, to begin with, if you'll notice, it gave three bowls made after the fashion of the almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and three bowls made like the almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. That's verse 19. And so in looking at that, then, we see that here stands this candlestick, this lampstand, and it has actually seven. There's one in the center. And then we have three coming out each side. So there are three branches that come on each side. That comes to a total of six branches, three on each side, and the one in the middle. And so number one, and we're just the same as out of time, but number one always stands for deity and the sovereignty of God. The number six stands for man. So all of a sudden, we're together. The six attached to this one central shaft gives us a beautiful picture of the church. The number seven in the Scripture is perfection, is completeness. Now, we'll begin and we'll go through that next time we come together. My dear friend, it's so wonderful to study the Word of God and to look at it. Please trust in Jesus today and walk with Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?